927.
Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Bates with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning, the 14th of July 2020. Plenty of news out of the weekend of sport and lots happening. It's a bit of a moving feast at the moment with the amount of changes that look like they may be on the horizon with that spike of cases now. New South Wales, does that jeopardise what the AFL might just have set up in New South Wales? Maybe that hub is on the move. More on that throughout the morning. Let's start, though, with a very personal account of the COVID-19 crisis from Basha Hooley. This was on his Instagram yesterday.
My mother's been affected a lot. She's currently in ICU, undergoing some heavy treatment. Alhamdulillah, the team in ICU is taking care of her. Her current state is a mixed one.
So good luck to Basha Hooley's mum and the entire family as well. We'll hear more from Basha in just a second. Meanwhile, on the field, John Longmire yesterday responded to Damien Hardwick's criticism of Sydney's game style.
I mean, the comments after the game from Damien were completely unnecessary and unwarranted. They just weren't correct. And we didn't play an extra defender. Richmond bring a player up around the ball. They've been doing it for a long time. We just held our six defenders in place. If Damien didn't want to do that, he could have brought his forward back in and just played six, six and six, and the issue would have been done. I'm not sure it's my role to walk up to Damien's coach's box, knock on the door and say, what would you like us to do? So that's how it happened.
More from John Longmire later in the Breakfast Bite. To John Patton now on his injury.
I really worked myself up for the game of Friday night. So I went in with already a lot of emotion to the game. Couldn't really control myself on the bench, and obviously it was a tough night, but I've done a lot better.
And Liam Jones on Patrick Cripps' shoulder.
I've been told he's okay. I think he was just a bit sore last night, just a shoulder knock, but pretty confident he's going to be fine, and we've got a long break Sunday next week, so confident he'll be fine.
Stacks to get through this morning: NRL, boxing, golf, supercars, soccer, and all the footy news coming your way on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Stay with us for the next 25 minutes as we bring you up to date with all the latest. Then after 6 o'clock, The Breakfast Club returns, Half and Whitey, to take you through your Tuesday. Rodney Eade will be a part of the show after 7. Looking forward to getting his opinion through the coach's lens after 7 o'clock on the state of the game. It is dominating discussion, not only within the football fraternity, but outside of it as well. Dave Culbert, former Australian Olympian on that amazing British athlete scandal. Danny Wyler from Channel 9 with the dramas in the NRL at the moment. Isaac Smith will be in the inner sanctum, the Hawthorn vice-captain. The spotlight has been fair and square on them over the last 24 hours. He'll join the guys after 8 o'clock. And Mark Redan from Western United before the end of the show, as the A-League finally announced that they'll be underway this Friday. I had planned to kick off on Thursday, but when three of your teams get stuck in the state, they've finally been allowed in, and obviously their start to the season has been delayed. So we'll hear from the Western United coach before the end of the show, before Michael Felgate takes over with Racing Pulse. And don't forget Gareth Hall at 10:30 as well with RSN Central. Let's start in the footy world, though, and we might start with the fixture announcement. Yesterday, the AFL announcing round 8. And it goes like this. The Gold Coast and the Western Bulldogs will play each other at Metricon on Thursday night footy. So the Suns being rewarded for some good early form. GWS will play Richmond at Giants Stadium on the Friday night. On Saturday, July 25th, North Melbourne to face Carlton at the Gabba. Sydney v Hawthorn at the SCG. Port Adelaide v St Kilda at the Adelaide Oval. On the Sunday, Adelaide will play Essendon in Adelaide. West Coast will play Collingwood in Perth. Melbourne we'll play Brisbane at Metricon. And on Monday, get used to this, Monday Night Football is coming. Fremantle v Geelong at Perth Stadium. But it does look like that might be a common occurrence over the next 4 to 5 weeks. So that is the round 8 fixture, which the AFL released late yesterday. Let's head to matters on the park, and we'll start with John Longmire. This is what he had to say about Damien Hardwick's criticism of the Sydney game plan after their slogfest on Sunday.
Well, I thought that the coaches were really collegiate, and I was hoping that that would still be the case, but we've got to be careful, I reckon, as an industry. We don't drop into this habit of potting other people and finger-pointing. It's a bit of a challenging time for all of us, and I just think we just need to take a deep breath and help each other through this. I mean, Damien called me straight after the game. He apologised for the comments, which was appreciated, but as I said to Damien, they're out there. Now you've got to have a press conference and talk about them. So from my angle, we did not go in to play an extra number behind the ball. And you can look at all the stoppages, and the majority of the times, we might not have got everyone right, but the majority of the time, that's what the plan was. Now, in an off-ball sense, the best team in the last 3 years of getting support behind the ball has been Richmond. Now, their wingers and what they do has been outstanding, fantastic. And I guess from my perspective, I've been around the coaching industry for a long time, is that I try not to make comments on other teams. But we've just slipped into a bit of a habit of giving strong opinions on other teams, and it's just unnecessary. He just said he was frustrated. I said, OK, if you're frustrated, just bring your forward back from the up around the ball, which you normally play, and play 6 forwards in front of the ball. Done.
John Longmire speaking there yesterday. Wasn't too happy, Horse, but fair enough. Damien Hardwick called to apologise, as he mentioned, after the game. What do you have to say about Isaac Heaney and Josh Kennelly? Two big injuries and bad news for the Swans.
Heaney's out for the season, and Kennedy's 6 to 8 weeks. So we need to get some players back. He's having an ankle operation this afternoon, and so he's got a ruptured medial ligament in his ankle, and also the tendon tunnel has been ruptured as well on his ankle. So he's out for the year. He gets an operation this afternoon. He's in a moon boot for 8 weeks. So, and that's really unfortunate for him and us. Isaac's works so hard at his game. He plays a lot of the times with all sorts of injuries that no one would know. He's as hard as, one of the hardest players we've got. And so when he went down with an injury after the game, I knew it was significant because he's tough. I had a coffee with him this morning, and he was hoping on the bright side, but he was sort of looking at his ankle and was pretty big and swollen. And I think he was fingers crossed, but knowing there was some significant damage, and there was.
John Longmire there, which is just a terrible blow for the Sydney Swans. Heaney out for the season. Kennedy out for at least 6 weeks with that medial ligament tear in his knee. So things go from bad to worse for the Swans. Just on the injury front as well, news coming through yesterday with Rory Sloan. He'll miss at least the next month with a broken hand too. So the news not much better at Adelaide either, as their poor season continues, and now the captain is out for at least a month. Let's head to Reece Shaw now. This was another issue coming out of the weekend. Luke McDonald's sledge about COVID-19 towards Connor McKenna. This is what Reece Shaw had to explain about that situation at North Melbourne.
We've dealt with that internally already. Luke's given Connor a call. And from our perspective, it wasn't necessary. It's a bad look. And considering all the things that are going on around the world at the moment, and even more specifically in Melbourne, that we just don't accept that type of behaviour. And Luke's apologised for that, and he understands what that looks like. Yeah, look, he's disappointed in his own actions, and we had a really good chat about it. And we addressed it straight away as soon as we felt it was the right time. And he did that the next morning, and we put it to bed pretty quickly. And Connor was really, really good about it. And respected the phone call from Luke.
Reece Shaw there speaking yesterday. We'll hear a little bit more from the North Melbourne coach later in the breakfast spot. But before we leave footy for the time being, let's hear from Basher Hawley. This was his message. You heard a part of it off the top of the show, but this is what he had to say on Instagram yesterday about the COVID-19 crisis and how it is affecting his family in a very personal manner.
I want to share a personal experience
with the current situation that we're all facing out with this COVID-19. My family has been affected by COVID-19, and it's been tough. It's been a tough time. You know, when you're restricted and you're isolated, and you know, it's very touching. And more specifically, my mother's been affected a lot. She's currently in ICU, undergoing some heavy treatment. Alhamdulillah, the team in ICU is taking care of her. Her state, her current state, is a mixed one. Allahu alam, God knows best her situation. But what burns and what hurts truly is the fact that no one from her family members can go and visit her, which is very, very tough.
Bashir Hooley there speaking yesterday. To the NRL world now, they're struggling with their own quarantine situation with players. Already three from the weekend have been quarantined. One of those is related to the outbreak just south of Sydney, where one player's parents had attended the restaurant where a number of patrons have tested positive. He unfortunately still lives with his mum and dad, so he's now got to quarantine himself for 14 days. Plus, another couple of players came into contact with family members. So under the return to play protocol set by the NRL, they're now sitting out for 2 weeks and quarantining themselves. So not only footy is being affected by the crisis at the moment, but most sports that have returned to some sort of action on the park. Let's have a listen to a few issues on the field. We'll start with a good news story. Darren Shonick, on his surprise NRL debut for the Melbourne Storm, he came through the grades and essentially wasn't part of the squad, but the COVID-19 crisis has opened up a few opportunities for him.
Yeah, it took me a bit by surprise. Wasn't expecting it, but yeah, loved every minute of it. Yeah. So I come down to Falcons end of 2018 on a train trial, and then, you know, went down to Storm, did about 6 weeks down there, then come back, and we were lucky enough to have a really good year. You know, Nico got picked up, and I was a few weeks after him. So yeah, and then moved down, and got a full preseason under my belt, and played a bit of the trials, and then, you know, everything with COVID happened, so I haven't really been playing much footy, and then you know, I've been gifted to be able to get a debut just on the weekend, so it's been pretty crazy.
One of the good news stories from the Melbourne Storm there. Let's head to another former Storm player. Cooper Cronk on Fox Sports yesterday had his say on Latrell Mitchell, who basically erupted after there was a bit of an incident in the South Sydney game on the weekend. And this is what Cooper Cronk had to say about his former teammate.
Yeah, I think Latrell is one of those players that has to play right on the edge for him to play well each week. I think he loves the physical battle. He's a physical beast in the way that he plays the game. So he needs to have that mindset of being, you know, ultra aggressive without obviously giving away penalties. Look, it was a sort of bomb firing moment in that game, because if I'm on the South Sydney side, I see what Josh Reynolds did. You want to get in and protect your teammate, because while it was an accident, it was an act that could have been disastrous for Campbell Graham. So on one side, I like the reaction of Latrell, sticking up for his teammate, protecting, but you can't come in and swing the arm with a closed fist and be aggressive and make contact to the head. So I think Latrell knows that. I think he plays his best football when he's on the balance of being super aggressive and intimidating, but obviously not letting down his teammates. But he knows that he probably crossed the line too far. He accepted the plea of guilty early, which he knows that he did the wrong thing. So, yeah, 2 weeks on the sidelines, tough, because they were starting to develop some real relationships in the 1, 7, 6 and 9 position for South. So, cruel blow, but he knew he crossed the line.
Cooper Cronk there speaking yesterday. Before we head to the ad break, let's get to some soccer news, which is great news for the A-League. They're finally going to be back up and running this Friday. First of all, here's Mark Bosnich on Fox Sports.
We don't want to take anything for granted. Obviously, there's going to be a 14-day quarantine for the whole three sides. My understanding as well is that Melbourne City and West United did test right before they went and were all negative. Melbourne's victory last test, I think, was last Monday, because obviously thinking that I'm going to leave that same day.
Sure.
So I think all three sides will have to be retested, so we've got to see how that goes as well. But as it stands, they arrive, like you said, Saturday. So 14 days, 2 weeks from Saturday, the Melbourne teams will be able to be involved. And Stephen Corrigan made the point he'd love to win the first two games because there's going to be so many games in such a short period of time. Obviously, they've got the Champions League coming up as well, that he'd like to be able to start to rotate players without no real consequences. So they're going to be going all out. And like I said to you as well, you know, for other teams, they've got a lot to play for. Wellington Phoenix have shown some tremendous form. And also, it makes a huge difference, I'm telling you now. I know a lot of people turn around, oh, you're away from your families. But in terms of team cohesion, it's great being together. You know, you sort of, you know, you get to know each other so well. You're able to do things and to practice things and to think about things that you probably wouldn't be able to do when you're at home because your mindset completely changes when you go at home. So, huge game. And like I said, for two different reasons, but the main one for me is to see which team is going to start with a good momentum.
So the FFA confirming yesterday that the remainder of the A-League season will commence on Friday. So good news there, released by Greg O'Rourke, the FFA head of leagues. So Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory and Western United will undergo their 14-day quarantine period before being able to rejoin the competition. So a bit of a delay for us here in Melbourne to see any of our teams go around, but it will commence on Friday with Sydney FC facing Wellington at Jubilee Stadium, with a few fans allowed at this stage, although that situation might change with what's happening at the moment in Sydney. So just one to keep an eye on there as well. Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, some very interesting news from the NBA, which has broken about 2 hours ago. We'll hear from Jeff Horn and also Shane Van Gisbergen ahead of the next round of Supercars.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back to the show at 8 to 6 on your Tuesday morning. The Breakfast Club coming up after the 6 o'clock news. Let's head to a bit of news from overseas. This broke about 2 hours ago. Russell Westbrook, one of the best NBA players there is, has tested positive to COVID-19 prior to his team's departure for Orlando. He's feeling well, he's quarantined, and he's looking forward to rejoining his teammates when he is cleared. He wants to thank everyone for their well wishes and support. And he says, please take this virus seriously, be safe, mask up. That's from Russell Westbrook. We spoke to Ryan Brockhoff on the Breakfast Club a couple of, or about a week ago, week and a half ago. He released a statement a couple of days ago saying, I'm not with the 76ers right now in Orlando because my wife, who was high risk, tested positive for COVID-19. We have a young son and my focus needs to be with my family at this time. I appreciate the 76ers for their support. So our thoughts also with Ryan Brockhoff and his family situation after that amazing opportunity that's presented itself with the Philadelphia 76ers. Hopefully she can recover quickly and we see him part of the hub that is taking place in Orlando as the NBA heads towards its resumption. Let's head to the supercars world now. They have resumed, and Shane Van Gisbergen spoke yesterday about the challenges of a few of the new rules, less tyres for the upcoming races.
It's going to be crazy. We've only got five sets. We've got two softs, three hards, and we need six if we're going to put new tyres on every pit stop. So we're going to have to reuse one of those. I don't know if it's going to be a soft or a hard. And of course there's a chance that someone could run soft pit and then put a soft on and just go for one race and screw the rest of them. So it'd be interesting to see who does that just to get a result.
Manchester United, meanwhile, are leading 2-1 in the English Premier League at the moment. Half and Wider will keep you updated on that all throughout the morning. Meanwhile, yesterday, great to see boxing on the verge of one of its biggest fights in recent history in Australia, with Jeff Horn and Tim Zhu set to do battle on August 26th in Queensland. This is what Jeff Horn had to say about fighting Tim Zhu. He was trying to get fired up yesterday at the press conference.
Yeah, look, they're very serious and very cocky in the way that they think that they're going to win this fight nice and easy, but Tim has never fought the opposition that I have. He's got relatively little experience in that manner, and the only reason why this fight is being made is because his last name is Zhu. His father is an absolute legend. We wouldn't be fighting him if his last name wasn't his dad's name.
And he hasn't fought in a stadium as a main event. He's fought in a stadium, but what advice would you have for him about what that is going to be like?
Look, he's going to be blown away. There's no way that you can't be blown away in a stadium fight. I have every time been like, wow, this is a momentous occasion. It's what does he do with that energy? Does he use it or does it sap away from him? And I've used it every single time, and I plan on doing that a third time. We'll see what Tim can do.
Are you surprised looking at the betting markets for this fight that you're a massive outsider?
I'm absolutely shocked at the betting markets at the moment. I can't believe with what I've done in the past and for Tim and for what Tim's done, and you compare the two to say that he's definitely, well, that's what they're saying, he's definitely going to win. He's a hot favourite for this fight, and I'm shocked. I kind of want to turn it around and put some money on myself.
What is it that leads you to believe that you should be a favourite for this fight? What is it that you've done?
Look, I've got the ample experience on what Tim's done in his career. I've versed world champions. I've fought Hall of Famers, legends like Manny Pacquiao. I've fought Terence Crawford. I might not have got that victory, but you learn so much from your losses than you do your wins. And I've learnt heaps in my career, and I've versed absolutely talented, extremely awesome fighters out there already.
Jeff Horton already on his phone app, tab.com.au, loading up on himself for August 26th. That will be a fascinating fight. I'm very much looking forward to sitting down and watching that one. Let's head back to the footy world for the last couple of minutes of the breakfast bite. We'll start with Steele Sidebottom. He issued this apology to Collingwood fans on the website yesterday.
Today I have my first opportunity to obviously speak to the playing group and the coaching staff. So obviously take, you know, full responsibility for my actions and, you know, deeply apologise for that, for those things that occurred. But I guess for me, over the next few weeks, I won't be able to have an impact on field, but, you know, I'll be doing everything I can to help my teammates out to prepare for, you know, the games coming up. You know, my actions 2 weeks ago, I know that I've, you know, affected everyone at the footy club and everyone that supports the footy club outside. So, you know, my role going forward now is just to, you know, make amends on that and, you know, try and work, get back all the trust from, you know, not only my teammates and everyone at the footy club, but also all the supporters out there.
Steele Sidebottom speaking yesterday. Let's hear what Nathan Buckley, his coach, had to say about that on Fox Sports last night.
His leadership, and anyway, and vice captaincy is a title. Captaincy is a title. Leadership isn't about a title. It's about what you do or do not do. And over the course of Steele's time at the football club, you know, his growth as an individual has been relatively positive. His contribution to us has been really strong. He's not shying away from the fact that he made some bad decisions and put himself in a very compromising position of which he and we are paying the price. But yeah, that's an event. It's not a pattern. And you know, Steele's a partner. He's a brother. He's a son. He's soon to be a father in 2 weeks' time. He's got plenty of other roles in his life that he has, you know, I suppose, fallen short of being the person that he wants to be. Not just as a footballer, a leader in the footy club, but. Yeah, we back his character and his capacity to learn from this.
Nathan Buckley on Fox Footy last night. Let's finish with Ben McAvoy. He was forced to defend Alistair Clarkson. It is a big double-page spread in the Herald Sun today as well, with heat on Clarko on the back page.
Guys in the media have a job. You got to have an opinion. So Louis just got himself a new job in the media. He's entitled to his opinion. I obviously don't agree with it, but... Look, I also can't argue with anyone having that sort of opinion. We haven't been putting the performances on the board in the last 2 weeks, but no, I don't think so. I have a lot of confidence in the group we've got that our best is definitely good enough. Oh, I nearly have to ask, does he remember Clarko? Has there ever been a more enthusiastic guy? He's still unbelievably passionate for the game, for this footy club. So, yeah, no chance that's accurate.
Ben McAvoy speaking yesterday. The heat was on Clarko. If you missed any of the reaction from Brendan Goddard yesterday on RSN Central or any of it from Jimmy Bartel on The Breakfast Club, head to the website or download the podcast, rsn.net.au.